So here we are. We're in Esther chapter 4, verse 1. And today's reading is chapter 4 and 5. And this amazing story, one of the great stories of the ancient world, whether it had been in the Bible or not, this would have been one of the great narratives of ancient literature. This amazing story is coming to one of the crunch points in the story. So I'm going to read a little bit, and then I might tell you a little bit, and then we'll see how we get on. So verse 1. When Mordecai learned of all that had been done, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes, and went out into the city, wailing loudly and bitterly. But he went only as far as the king's gate, because no one clothed in sackcloth was allowed to enter it. In every province to which the edict and order of the king came, there was great mourning among the Jews, with fasting, weeping, and wailing. Many lay in sackcloth and ashes. When Esther's maids and eunuchs came and told her about Mordecai, she was in great distress. She sent clothes for him to put on instead of his sackcloth, but he would not accept them. Then Esther summoned Hathach, one of the king's eunuchs assigned to attend her, and ordered him to find out what was troubling Mordecai and why. So Hathach went out to Mordecai in the open square of the city in front of the king's gate. Mordecai told him everything that had happened to him, including the exact amount of money Haman had promised to pay into the royal treasury for the destruction of the Jews. He also gave him a copy of the text of the edict of their annihilation, which had been published in Susa, to show to Esther and explain to her. And he told him to urge her to go into the king's presence and to beg for mercy and plead with him for her people. Now, what happens next is Esther sends a message back via this unfortunate guy who's had his genitalia removed. We may as well be clear about what kind of a empire this is. This is a awful, despotic, and tyrannical world that these folks live in. Hathach goes back to Mordecai and says to Mordecai what Esther's reply was. And Esther's reply is this: look, if I go into the king's presence and I'm not invited, the only expectation that I can have is that I'm killed. Because if I go into the king's presence without invitation, there is only one law amongst the Medes and the Persians, and that's that I die. Now, the king may extend his scepter towards me, and that may mean that I'm okay, but, you know, this is a high-risk strategy. And the king has not invited me into his bedroom for 30 days now. Now, you know, the king's got a lot to do, and he's got a vast harem, so, you know, obviously he's not necessarily going to be calling his first wife to his bedroom every day, so... You know, that's kind of normal expectation in the world that they're in. But 30 days is a long time. And the queen doesn't know whether she's displeased him or not. And if she's displeased him, then, you know, he's probably not going to be in good position when she goes into his presence. And Mordecai sends back a message and says this: don't think that you're going to be the only one who survives this annihilation. We're all going to die. But just be clear about this. If you don't step in on this occasion, God will protect his people and he'll find somebody else through whom to do his redemption. That's a pretty harsh reply. It's a pretty harsh reply to a young girl who's what? 18? 19 maybe? Maybe a bit older by now. She's a young lass and... she's thinking, gosh, you know, how's this going to work? And it's a pretty harsh reply. But throughout the text, as I've been reading it to you, something has been very clear about how it is that God has prepared this situation for his redemption. And the fundamental preparation is the preparation in the hearts of the people. And the hearts of the people, the key people, Mordecai and Esther, are people who have a heart of submission. They have a heart of submission. And here's the thing. If Esther had been a woman with any other heart, it wouldn't have worked. Now, this is a world where women are subjugated, traded, and treated as objects. Just like our world, interestingly. And she is at the very nexus of all of this appalling subjugation and evil. And she could rightly say that her rights as a human being and as a woman are being violated, and could have chosen another path. But it would have been impossible for God to use her. And you know my position on equality and all of that stuff. I mean, I hope there's no need to re-explain all of that. But here's the thing. A person that is not submitted is a person that can't be used very well by God. And if you can't be used very well by God, generally what happens is that other people get used and you get passed over. And it's up to you. Do you want to be passed over or do you want to be used by God? If you want to be used by God, your heart has to deal with the issues of submission. And the fundamental issues of submission are these. It doesn't feel right. So if you go on your feelings, you'll never get to a point of submission. It never feels right. It only ever is right. And I've seen it. I can't tell you how many times over the years I've seen it. I've watched people function quite well until they get to the point where it's an issue of submission. And when they get to that point, that's the point at which the road divides. And the road that that leads to God making a breakthrough is the road of Jesus, who is the one who is the absolute model of our attitude, who, though in very nature God, did not consider equality, did not consider equality with God. He didn't consider equality his issue. That's not his issue. His issue is submission. And Jesus won. In the same passage it says, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Esther goes in before the king. He extends the phallic symbol that he's holding in his hand, that is the indicator of his temporal power, his scepter. He extends it towards her. She is she's allowed to come forward. She invites him to a feast with Haman. Haman comes along to the feast and he says, "Okay, sweetheart, you know what's the deal?" And she says, "Come to another feast tomorrow, and then I promise you I'll tell you." Meanwhile, in between the two feasts, Haman's gone home, and on his way home, the dignified resistance of Mordecai completely enrages him. Because Mordecai is not simply submitted to people, you see, he's submitted to God. And God has told him that he needs to resist the people and the leaders of the Amorites who sacrifice their children and use prostitution in their worship. And so he said, "Look, you know, you're not to submit to these people." And so at the risk of his own life, Mordecai does not submit himself in any physical way to Mordecai. Because, of course, the issue is whether he's submitted to God. Haman goes home absolutely furious and makes a plan to kill Mordecai. And then goes back to the next feast. And that's where we leave the story until tomorrow. Of course, you could read the Bible yourselves and find out what happens. Let's pray. Lord, thanks so much for this day. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And thank you, Lord, for the instruction we find in it. We bless you according to the character and identity of Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.